Hi, it's Kiffin Lobates here, and today I'm going to bite the bullet and record a video about the metaverse, because a number of people have asked me to do this, and I do this with trepidation, not just because I'm walking around the forest wearing this big white blob on my head, but because the problem is that the metaverse is not well defined. And by not well defined, what I mean is that there are hundreds of definitions out there. So to start with a bit of history, back in the mid-90s, I read a book called Snow Crash, written by an author called Neal Stephenson, and I've actually recently reread it. And that kind of sets the scene and the history for the metaverse. Neal Stephenson's actually the person who coined the term. There's another writer worth looking up, Werner Vinge, and his novelette, or novella, True Names. These are kind of the science fiction writings that set the scene for what people now mean when they talk about the metaverse. And if you go and look online, you'll find definitions of the metaverse, such as it's a virtual, immersive, persistent experience for users. Now, I find that a bit odd, because whenever people talk about the metaverse and they talk about 3D goggles and VR and AR as this immersive experience, well, yes, it does have a gimmicky reality to it that other experiences don't have. But the fact is that for most of us, reading a good novel is an immersive experience. You must have noticed that if you pick up a good book and you start reading it, after a short time, reality fades away and you're actually inside the book and you forget about the world around you. Similarly, a good movie, or if you go to a good play, even music can be immersive. You can be listening to a music track that moves you so much that you forget you are who you are and you just kind of become part of the music. So VR goggles like this Oculus headset give a different kind of immersive experience, but human beings have been undergoing immersive experiences that are virtual rather than real for centuries. So it can't be that that is the key feature of the metaverse. It's already existed for a long, long time, and it's just this sort of fad thing that VR is the latest new immersive experience, but it's just being added to the list of other immersive experiences that we can have in the world. Now, the second thing, the idea of persistent worlds, well, again, in the virtual world, these things have existed for a long, long time. Back in the late 80s, I used to stay up till 3 or 4 in the morning playing multi-user dungeons, just text-based adventures running on the early version of the internet, where you were walking around in a fantasy realm or a science fiction realm and typing in instructions like pick up sword, attack orc in order to play. And these multi-user dungeons were persistent, because if I wasn't logged in, then the game was still there with other people playing in it. And that's the second part, there were other people involved too. So again, it can't be the fact that it's persistent or that it's multi-user that is new in this concept that's currently being touted by companies such as Meta, the former Facebook. So what could it be about the metaverse that has changed in recent times? And although you don't see companies like Meta focusing in on it, my personal take is it's the change in the capacity for ownership in the digital space. It's Web3. And of course, I'm going to say that because it's the space that I work in and that I'm interested in. But I think this makes the real difference. Whereas 3D virtual immersive games that have been around for a long, long time are interesting, the thing that raises them to a new level is the fact that you can actually now, through cryptocurrency and NFTs and other constructs such as those, actually have genuine ownership within those games. So although there will be a company or a person who's running a server who controls a particular metaverse world that you go into, blockchain allows that world to have property that is actually owned by the players inside the game and not under the control of the providers of the game. So whereas if you go into Fortnite and you buy V-Bucks and you buy skins, you don't really own those assets that you've bought, because Epic can, just by typing in a few commands at their headquarters, ban you from the game, remove all your assets. They can allow you to go back in the game, but you'll find that your level has changed or that you no longer have the skins that you used to have. And there's not really very much that you can do about it. However, if you have a blockchain-based game, then the assets will actually persist outside of the game. Now, there is a problem in that the game is a presentation layer and you may have an NFT that represents a magic sword, and the game designers may decide that they're no longer going to render that NFT as a magic sword, but at least you'll still have the token that represents that you had it. And if a different game provider decides that they will honor the description of the object in the metadata for the object, well, then in that game, you'll have the same magic sword again. So this is another thing that it does, is it allows transference across from one thing to another. So that to me is the key thing. And you're seeing this rising up in some of these blockchain-based games where people are actually spending serious money acquiring parcels, in quotes, of land within those games and are trading them between each other. And this has nothing to do with the people who are actually running the game. The people who are running the game are providing the presentation layer to show you what that land looks like, but the actual ownership of it is in the hands of individual people, and they can do with it as they see fit because they actually own it in a real sense, in that they control it and they can decide whether they're going to hold on to it or whether they're going to sell it on to other people. So for me, that is the key thing about the metaverse. And now I'm going to finally return back to talking a little bit about Snow Crash, the book that kind of kicked this all off, because I think it is kind of telling that Snow Crash is set in a dystopian, rather unpleasant and violent future or alternate universe. And therefore, I find it very interesting that certain sectors of society are looking to try to recreate that. Why would you take a world that is just as unpleasant as Brave New World by Huxley or 1984 by Orwell and want to actually build it? Now that is beyond me. Anyway, that's today's video. I've gone to great lengths to produce this for you, so I hope you've appreciated it, and I'll see you in the next one soon. Bye for now.